You are so good. God, you are a great God. God, I don't always feel it in every moment, God. In my situation, sometimes it seems bleak, but I know you are there. I know you are powerful. I know that you can and will help, God. Lord, we give you the glory, God, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. You could be seated this morning. Praise God. How many people have ever been to like Disney World or those really cool theme parks? Maybe. Yeah, you've been something like that, right? You know they take things really seriously there. They have like hidden rules. You can find them on YouTube. If you see trash, you have to pick it up if you work there, right? They're pumping in sounds and smells so you don't hear and smell things, right? We don't do that here. You might smell the food, right? But also, if you're feeling something, that's God's presence. You're like, I don't know what this is. This feels a little off. Maybe this is a little different. Maybe this is new for me. I want to tell you, that's God's presence. The Bible says God is where his people are. Now, I know God is everywhere, but it says he inhabits the praise of his people. So whether it's a special moment when we worship and praise God that he engages with us in a really different way. And if you're feeling something, that's God. I'm just, once again, I'm happy you're here if you're here with us this morning. I'm not going to be long this morning. I have a thought that I want to share with us, and then we'll take, I said, some time if anybody would like prayer, but also to go get food. My family and I recently, we don't get to do this often, but we recently took a vacation to the East Coast. It was just three weeks ago we got back. And our children, we wanted to have it be a little bit more educational, and so we were like Boston, Philly, Plymouth, Patuxent, D.C., Washington, D.C., you know, Colonial Williamsburg, Yorktown, if you know, these are like the core parts of what made us a country. If you want to know where we started as a country, it's in Boston. There's so much history in Boston and Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. You go further down into Virginia and North Carolina, and you see these places where battles were fought, where relationships were made. One of the coolest things we saw when we were over there is you can actually, they have a really cool setup in Plymouth where the Pilgrims landed, and they have what the settlement would have looked like for the Pilgrims. And they have people dressed in what they would have worn there, and they're talking like they would have, and they're like gardening with their hands instead of all these big machines. And then there's the Patuxent Native Americans. They were the tribe that was there, and there's still Patuxent Native Americans around today. And they had their village, and they had these wooden huts, and they had some actual Patuxent Native Americans that were in these huts, and they were like carving out bowls with fire. And they were telling you about their culture and their history. And it was so rich and it was so cool to learn about the starting of our country. It's cool to learn when people came over here. Yes, there was some people seeking religious freedom. Yep. There were some people seeking land. Maybe just to get away from their parents. I don't know, right? There's some people seeking riches. There's some people seeking work. There's some people seeking freedom, and yeah, you start to build all the things where it's like, hey, you're taxing us, and we don't get to represent ourselves, and there's a lot of this history. But something I never put two and two together until I was there, there's a lot I learned, but something that struck me as interesting is we came to this Americas, and the first, they called it what? The New World, right? The New World. And not only that, I thought we were trying to get away from England and some of the stuff that was over there. But we get here and we name our cities New York. New Jersey. New Hampshire. We have a whole area called New England. You've probably heard of New Haven. It's in Connecticut. It's great pizza there. We drove through, tried a couple. It's a great time. And there's even a new London. There's something about these people that came to America. They were hoping and looking for something new, but they were still taking what they knew, K-N-E-W, and putting just the word new in front of it. It's what we knew, but we're just going to make it new. We're going to call it New York. They were looking for something new, whether it was religious freedom or personal freedom or land or growth. They were looking for a new start. They were looking for a new opportunity. They were looking for an entirely new life. And they were willing to sacrifice for it. We went down into the replica of the Mayflower, and we're in this boat. I mean, I don't know. I think it's like this, right? From like here to that wall, about this wide. And there was 104 people in there with like 30-something kids that didn't have iPads. I have no idea how they made it 66 days across the Atlantic Ocean without iPads in a space this big. Sorry, that's a side note. Sorry, I have young kids. They crossed an ocean. They left everything behind. They gave up the familiar for the unknown, and for the most part, they found it here in America. But here's what's interesting to me. That hunger for something new, it didn't stay on the dock in England. It came with them. That hunger for something new, for something different, has been passed down through every generation. And I think that hunger is still alive today. We're still a people looking for something new. We're a people looking for a new look, a new start, a new body, a new mindset, and a new life. And what we have in America today that they didn't have then was no shortage of people who are willing to tell you they have exactly what you're looking for if you will just follow them. Right? You've seen it. You've seen it easily on social media. People, and by the way, there are some AI agents out there now posting. That might not be a real person that put that video out. Okay? But people are offering whatever you're looking for. There's experts, there's doctors, there's influencers, podcasts, and even teachers. And can I say, it's like the age of information. Some of it's really good and really beneficial. These people are offering you a new you, a new body. I use Spotify to listen to music and podcasts. I don't know if you all do that. But now there's a guy with an exercise program on Spotify. There's probably multiple. I never saw it before. But there's this whole thing, like, just tune in with me 20 minutes a day, grab your weights, and I'm going to give you a new body. It's like, maybe I could do that. I could use a new body, right? You see these podcasts, there's podcasts about, different ways of thinking. If you'll just pay with us, I'm going to bring in all the experts, and we're going to give you a new way of thinking. People are looking, they're offering you a new day, a new life. I get called probably twice a year. They're going to give me a new lawn. You see it in the Super Bowl commercials, Scott's Lawn Care, right? But you got to get the four bags, and you got to do it at these four times, and you got to follow their four-step process, maybe it's six now, to get your new lawn. The advertisements out there, kids, are for the new game console, that new fit, a new pair of kicks. There's something out there that's new, and the promise is always the same. It's never changed. You'll fit in. You'll belong, you'll arrive, you'll be healthy, you'll be caught up to everybody else. You'll be a new person, and all you have to do is follow them. It's all you have to do is follow them. You've heard it, you can't get through a video now on YouTube without like, follow, and subscribe. Like, follow, and share. That's for them. And you know what, like I said, I'm not here to bash them. I think there's some great stuff in there. I've learned a lot. But this, all you have to do is follow them, and they say, if you will like, follow, and share, I will get you there. And some of it's quite good. Some of it can actually help. But ultimately, I just have to tell us, it's good, and I'm going to continue to use some of it. Ultimately, though, we're the product. We're the product. And what I mean by we're the product is, if it's free, that means you're the one being sold. They're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. I'm sure there's some really great people out there. But people are making money off of these videos and clicks and likes and subscribes. Right? Everything that is being offered on in the world today is finite. It's temporary. It's limited. And can I say that in most cases, you find yourself right back where you started. You find yourself with the same thought patterns. You find yourself with the same way of living. With the same situation, in the same struggles, maybe in a different venue now. You might trade one addiction for one compulsive behavior. You might trade one way you medicate your pain for another way you medicate your pain. And one is more socially acceptable, but the other one isn't. So you're like, okay, I'm going to quit doing this because not, but I'm going to do this. But it's the same thing. It's all distractions. the same situations and struggles. And so I feel like for me, sometimes we look at it like maybe this time it'll be different. Maybe with this program or this process or this person, maybe this will help me get out of my rut. Because this is something maybe you don't talk about with your friends. But maybe if you journal or you sit silently or you give yourself some time to think, maybe you're driving alone in the car and those thoughts pass through your brain. Why do I keep ending up here? Why do my relationships keep ending in this way? Why do my finances keep ending in this way? Why? I need something new. I need a new start. I need a new life. And none of the liking and following and sharing is really helping. But I found a teacher who isn't on social media who is offering you real change. Who's offering us a true new life. And that's Jesus. It's Jesus. In the Gospels, John said this about Jesus. John's quoting Jesus, and Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. Jesus is saying this. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus himself says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Can I just take a break right here for a moment and say, if your decisions continue to lead you to things missing and death and destruction, we're following the wrong person. And I don't even think we're doing it on purpose. It just becomes distractions in life. But when you keep waking up and ending up in the same place, it's like, hold on, something's not working for me. But Jesus has come that we might have life and more abundantly. In the Bible, if you could transport your time back there or just, you know, watch some of the TV shows out now about they saw Jesus as what the Jewish people would call a rabbi. A rabbi is the Jewish word for teacher. And can I say that Jesus had one simple request? He had one simple request. His request was, follow me. Follow me. It was a simple request. In Matthew 9:9, it says, and Jesus passed on from there. As he passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. Nothing else is recorded, so I can't add to that. It just says, follow me. So he arose and followed him. I think what's really cool about all these verses where Jesus, he collects all 12 of his disciples. And we hear most of the stories through the gospel. But in every case, there's a follow me. Follow me. Follow me. There was no prerequisite to this request. Follow me. There was no qualification to this request. Follow me. There was no judging of past wrongs and failures and sins. Follow me. There was only an invitation from Jesus. Follow me. It's almost as if I could put the emphasis on the me, Jesus is saying, hey, these other things you're following might not be working out for you, but if you'll follow me, there's new life. If you'll follow my way of doing things, there's a change. And I think sometimes as people, we see God and we see what maybe the church, maybe ourselves, maybe society has defined how God looks. And sometimes we put those thoughts in our heads that, well, Jesus is like, well, not you. Ooh, maybe not you. Oh, but your past. Could you do the 6-step process and get clean first before you follow me? Oh, you're working at the tax stand. That's kind of bad. Could you just set yourself apart from the job for 3 or 4 months and then follow me? No. There's nothing about Jesus and his prerequisites to following him. There's no qualifications. He doesn't say, go to Bible school, become a rabbi like me. He doesn't say, oh, you haven't prayed enough or you haven't been to church enough, Peter and James and John. He doesn't say any of that. He just says, follow me. And you know what's cool about all these stories? The one with Peter and James and John, it says they immediately left their nets and followed him. Literally, Matthew, he says, follow me. And it says, so he arose and followed him. I love that because Jesus is not expecting something great to start. He's just looking for you to follow him. He was looking for followers. In the Bible, we call them disciples. But the word disciple in the Bible, what they would have seen it at is just a learner. Oh, well, that brings down the expectation, doesn't it? He is looking for disciples. He's looking for people who want to learn. And can I say that if he's looking for people to want to learn, it's sort of implied he's looking for people that don't know everything. Or maybe that don't know anything. Jesus is looking for people to follow him, people to be disciples, people who want to learn. A disciple in that time is somebody that would attach himself to a teacher to learn from him. But a disciple didn't just learn their stories. They didn't just sit around while the teacher would teach and say their things, right? A disciple would literally hang out with them at all the times. There's a Jewish saying that captures this idea. There's a Jewish saying. It says this: a disciple should be covered in the dust of his rabbi. Should be covered in the dust of this rabbi. What does that mean? It means that a disciple followed so closely behind his rabbi that the dust kicked up by the rabbi's feet would settle on the disciple. That's how the Jewish people knew. That's what they knew it would, discipleship was. The disciple would watch how the rabbi ate. It would watch how their rabbi prayed, how their rabbi handled conflict, how their rabbi treated people, how their rabbi interpreted scriptures. Everything the rabbi did, the disciple would learn from. The goal of a disciple was threefold. It was three simple steps. Not even steps. Their goals. It wasn't even steps. You can't say it in order. Their goal was threefold. Their goal was one, to be with him. The second goal was to become like him. And the third goal was to do what he did. So when Jesus came to them saying, follow me. In that time, they knew he's asking me to be a disciple, to be a learner. And he's asking me and he's saying, hey, spend time with me. Become like me. Do what I do. And so what does that look like? I think we have to think, what does that look like? Well, when we think of spending time with him, for them it was hanging out by the fire. Goofing off, maybe playing ball or sports, whatever they had back then. Maybe it was praying together. Maybe it was reading scripture together. It was hanging out. But today he's saying, spend time with me. That follow me didn't end in the Bible. He's asking all of us to follow him to this day. To spend time with him might be to pray, to talk to God, to read his word. His word is what he says about himself and what he says about us. To learn what he is about. Maybe even to spend time in a gathering with other people. Worshiping, that's spending time with God. The becoming like him, this, I love the word become because it doesn't say be like him. It says become like him. It means that there's a process that occurs as we spend time with our rabbi. There's a process that occurs as we are saying, I will follow Jesus. I will be his disciple. I will be a learner of him. And as time goes on, I will be changed and be more like him. You could complain about some things in the Bible. You could say there's some weird things in there. You could say that, okay, Leviticus is kind of weird. There's some stuff. It's all scripture. But what you can't say is that you wouldn't want to be like Jesus. If you just read through the Gospels and what is described about Jesus, you would look at it and say, that's somebody I would want to be like. That man had compassion, he had grace, and he had love. And the last part of it is doing what he did. Which is simple for us, is looking for ways to serve and give and love others around us. So following Jesus, okay, I can get with that. I wish he was here walking like he was with the disciples for 3 years. But okay, Peter, that makes sense. Maybe I'll try to pray a little bit more. I'm gonna recommit to coming to church and worshiping with other people. I'm gonna commit to reading God's word and trying to hear what he says to me. I wanna become more like him and do what he did. And that all sounds great, except for the part where Jesus is crucified and dies on a cross. The following part, all of a sudden, seems a bit much. Right? It's okay. You wouldn't, if maybe we won't all raise our hand and agree with me. I think that. But you wouldn't be alone if you felt that way. You wouldn't be alone at all. In fact, all of his disciples left him. He spent 3 years pouring into these learners. And when he went to die, they're like, I don't know about this. Peter, though, you know, my name's Peter. So I like Peter. Peter was like, I'm never going to leave you, Jesus. I'm your boy. We're tight. Things are going to go good. And Jesus is in the courts. And he's warming his hands. They're like, Peter, you're friends with Jesus. Jesus? Jesus? Like, who's this? I don't know who you're talking about. They're like, no, we saw you that one time. You were hanging out. And Peter goes, No, that might have been somebody else. There's a lot of Peters around. It might not have been me. Three times, Peter, the one who said, I'm with you, I'm your boy, Jesus, he denied him. The following part, when it comes to crucifixion and death, that's a lot harder. But today, following Jesus doesn't end in a death on a cross. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he describes what we call today the gospel. The gospel. You know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the gospels. But he describes in 1 Corinthians 15 what the gospel is. Let's read this. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. So the gospel is what saves us. He says, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first. Now he's telling us what the gospel is. He's saying it's three things. First, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Two, that he was buried, this is verse 4. And three, that he rose again the third day, according to scriptures. The gospel, the good news, is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are called to follow him. Now thank God there are not crosses everywhere and God's looking for crucifixion. In fact, Peter later in Peter says, we are to obey the gospel. Well, it says it saves us, and we're supposed to follow Jesus, and I would imagine if he wanted us to follow him in life, he would want us to follow him in death. So how do we follow Jesus in death and in burial and in resurrection? Well, luckily, Paul covers that with us too, because throughout Scripture, and we're not going to bring up all the verses, but Paul says that we are crucified with him when we die to ourselves. Peter would say the word repentance. This idea of saying, God, you know what? I keep trying for this to be different and it's not working. I need something new and I'm going to turn to your way and I'm going to start following you. He said, and you know what that is? Repentance is a turn, but it's also leaving something behind. It's leaving your old way behind. It's dying. And so we are crucified with Christ when we die to our old self and our old way of doing things. The moment we start turning to God and say, God, I want to start to follow you, and I don't want to live this way anymore. Help me. That's how we die. It says you are buried with him in baptism. We have a tank of water back here. It's about yay high, right? And we baptize people in Jesus' name, and they go all the way under the water. Peter says, we baptize in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and all that dead parts of us that we had with us is gone and left in the water. And that's why Paul says, if you identify with Jesus' death by repenting and turning to God, you identify with his burial by being buried in water. And you do get to come up, though, after a second or two. But also, we are raised to a new life. This is the beginning of a new life. I'd tell you that following somebody on social media or on YouTube or something, it costs you very little. It costs you a tap, a click, maybe some time and energy. But following Jesus, that's an entirely different kind of follow. There's sacrifice in being a disciple. It takes time and energy and effort. In a way, it takes your whole life. But it's worth it. Because I would rather take my whole life getting a new life that's worth living than having an old life that's miserable. Than having an old life that keeps ending in death and destruction and addiction and problems. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Paul is saying, if anybody wants to follow Christ, if anyone says, I want to be a part of what Christ is doing, I want to spend time with him, I want to become like him, I want to do what he did, that person is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Would you stand with me this morning? Jesus is still calling people to follow me. Not Peter saying it. I am not here to have you follow Calvary Gospel Church. I mean, you can like and follow and subscribe on Facebook or whatever, but that's a joke. I'm not here to have you follow Peter Sandin. I'm not here to have you follow a religion. I am calling you to follow Jesus. My goal is not to follow some group. My goal is to follow Jesus and to help other people follow Jesus. And that can happen today. And your response can be today. I said it. When they start singing, you guys, you're welcome to get food. You're welcome to be dismissed. But if you'd like to come up for prayer, if there's anything in your life that you want prayer for, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be tiny. It could be whatever is on your mind. And maybe it's a need. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe it's a circumstance. I don't know. But we're going to have people down here that will pray with you right in this area. Have some of our ministers come down and pray with you. But also, if you say, you know what? I want to check out this new life. I want to start following Jesus. You can come down and they will help you. They will pray with you. You can also do it at your seat, but it's something about having somebody help you along the way. Let's take some time. As they begin to sing, feel free. You can be dismissed. But if you'd like prayer, come to the front and respond to what God is speaking into your heart right now.